I invite you to take your Bibles tonight and let's turn to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12 tonight. We are continuing in our series on the Christian and. And we've been looking at different issues in the Christian's life. We looked at dress. We looked at social graces. And now we are looking at the tongue. The Christian and the tongue. And I want to draw your attention to some verses of Scripture that we find here in Matthew chapter 12, and we're going to be beginning at verse 33 of this particular passage as we consider the Christian and their tongue. Either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by his fruit. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you, that every idle word that man shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Father in heaven, I pray that we might understand how important words are. The things that we say, I pray, dear Father, that you would help us to understand that every idle word will one day be brought into account. I pray, Father, that we would not forget that, as many within churches all across the world do, that somehow think that we can say whatever we want to say and get away with it. But that's not the case. And we pray, Father, that you would teach us from your word as we establish going forward the teaching that we're going to have on the ear and also on the music that we listen to. For we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. I want you to consider that every one of us are going to have to give an account about the words that we say. And it seems to indicate that at both judgments we'll have to give an account. Both the judgment for the believer and the great white throne judgment, which is the judgment of the unbeliever, that our words are going to be brought before us and we're going to be judged according to those words. And as a matter of fact, every idle word, those are the words that just come out and we say them, but we don't think about what we're saying. There are words that are uttered. We're going to be brought into account for that. Now, some people like to diminish what the Word of God has to say. They say, well, you know, God really didn't mean that. Surely there's no way that God would have time to bring before all of us the words that we have. Let me tell you, God can do anything. Don't think for one second that somehow God's not going to be able to bring every idle word to account. God can do anything. And what the problem is that we're seeking to diminish what God has said. And the Bible says that we're not to diminish from, nor are we to add to, the Word of God. We're to accept it as is. And God has put great weight upon the words that we speak. And I mentioned at the very beginning that the reason that I'm doing this study, starting with the tongue first of all, is that we're eventually going to end up with our music. And I want you to see that the tongue is a moral instrument. The tongue is a moral instrument. God says so right in this passage. Notice, please, what he says. O generation of vipers. Well, Lord wasn't really concerned about self-esteem, was he? He was calling his generation vipers, snakes. Ye being evil, how can ye being evil speak good things? The Lord made a moral judgment. How can you, being evil, come out with good things? Is that possible? Well, the Lord is saying that there is a moral emphasis in the words that we say because we have an immoral heart. The Bible says that our heart is deceitful above all things and how wicked? Desperately wicked. Have you ever seen desperate before? Oh my, my children, whenever growing up, we get home from school, they were starving to death. I don't think we can make it till supper time. You know, they were starving to death from school. I mean, it was a taxing thing on them to come home, and they were looking for their afternoon snack, and they were desperate. All right? Now, have you been desperate with other things? I'll never forget the story that Mr. Woods told about a hike that he took his boys on. I think it was in Chattanooga at Lookout Mountain. And they decided to hike up the mountain trail. And they were about halfway up and said, "Dad, we're really thirsty." And Mr. Woods said, "There's a Coke machine at the top of the mountain." All right? There's a Coke machine at the top of the mountain. Now, you talk about holy water. Coke can become holy water at that moment. And Kent would say, "It's at the top. Every step, it's at the top. It's at the top." He was motivated because he was desperately thirsty. He said they got up to the top and they found that Coke machine. And they dropped their money in there, and boy, they just drank those Cokes. They were just so happy to get it. But the motivation to get from the middle of the mountain to the top of the mountain was their desperation for something to drink. Have you ever been that thirsty? You ever been that thirsty where you just had to have some water, some cold water? When we were growing up, my mom had special cups, and we had our own water jars that we had with our names on. This is before these fancy, what do they call these fancy cups these days? What are they called? These insulated containers? What's that? You can tell I don't have one. Yeti. That's right. Yeti. I have a knockoff brand Yeti, and I have no idea what it's called. But it works. But back in those days, we had glass jars. And we had our names on there, and we filled them up every day, put it in the refrigerator, so it was ready to go when we came in from being outside during the summertime. We would come in, and I want to tell you, there's nothing better than a nice cold glass of water. And you would be so thirsty. We would be hot and sweaty from being outside, and we would take that and we would drink that water down. Boy, it was so good. Desperation. Desperation. That's what the Bible describes our heart as. It's desperate to do evil. And you better know that about your heart. And it will reveal its desperation through what instrument? The tongue. The tongue. So, Christian, we have a responsibility for what we say and what we sing. Every idle word will be brought into account. Let's move ahead here. We looked at this last time. So we want to move quickly over. I want to review very quickly some of the things that we touched on in our previous time. Number one, we're to rely on God's strength to aid you when it comes to this little member right here. The Bible tells us in James chapter 3 and verse 8, the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. It's easier to tame a lion than it is your tongue. I saw a video not too long ago of a man who had trained a lion from the time it was a baby cub. It was there for its birth. And taught and trained that cub, and he had been let out at when it got up to 3 years of age. They let him out into the wild. Well, he came back to Kenya, and he had worked there at that particular safari location and where they took care of injured animals and baby lion cubs and so forth. And he came back and they said, "The lion that you trained has been coming around." And said, "We're a little fearful because we don't know what it's like now." This was 3 or 4 years after the fact. So the lion was now 7, 8 years of age. The man was out there and the lion came over to the fence area. And so the man opened the gate and went out there with that lion, not knowing. And that lion came over to him and put its paws up around the neck of the man. Now, they were scared to death. They didn't know what was going on. But he gave the man a hug. They're videotaping this. Now, I want to tell you something. You wouldn't have caught me anywhere near the fence, much less going out the gate. But that man did. That lion remembered that man. And they wrestled. It showed them wrestling on the ground together. I mean, like they had used to do for years. And the guy got up, went over to the gate, came back in, and the lion just watched him. Now this was a lion had been living out in the wild, killing its meat. But he remembered the man that had brought him up and didn't harm him in any way. But I want to tell you something. Your tongue is not able to do that. The tongue can no man tame. So it requires the aid of whom? God Almighty. The presence of the Spirit of God in your heart and life. It's full of deadly poison, we're told. Only by the grace of God in your life can you seek to control your speech. I can do all things through, say it, Christ who strengtheneth me. We looked at that last time. Number two, consecrate your heart and tongue to the Lord each day. Now this is very important. You know, our memories are pretty short. We have to be reminded all the time. We have calendars. I have two of them. I have two different calendars. I have my school calendar that's up there that's got all the important things that are on the calendar with the school. And then I have my church calendar. And it's got all the important things, the missionaries that are coming, special guest speakers, church-related type things. And I've got those calendars and I check them every day. You know why? Because I don't trust my memory. I don't trust my memory. Oh, I'll remember. I never want to be embarrassed when the missionary come walking in the door and said, "Hey, Pastor Brainerd, it's good to be with you today." Are you supposed to be with us today? Oh, yeah. Several months ago, we put it on the calendar and I forgot or something. I don't want that to happen. That would be really embarrassing, would it not? So I check my calendar every day. And we have a responsibility to check this member right here out every day. Very, very important. You face new circumstances and new conversations every day. Regularly acknowledging your need for discernment and God's grace helps you to remain conscious of your words. As the psalmist cried out in Psalm 19 and verse 14, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." I don't think anyone here would say that's not a good prayer to pray every day. I think all of us would say that's a tremendous prayer. "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight." I've had a habit for years, and I took this up at a message that was preached many, many years ago by Dr. Hobbs about the fact that whenever the phone would ring, he would always pray, "Lord, I don't know who's on the other end of the phone, but give me wisdom and give me the right words to say to the person that's on the other end." Now, usually it's a telemarketer, all right? Now, do you need to pray about how you speak to telemarketers? Okay. They're just trying to make an honest living, right? Boy, they get abused, do they not? So I whenever I respond to them, I say, "I appreciate you calling, but I'm not interested. And so thank you very much for considering us, but we're not interested. And thank you and goodbye." Because if you don't say that, they'll just keep right on talking. "Oh, we've got a great deal for you, Reverend Brainerd." Well, when I hear that, I know that they're slathering the butter on really thick. All right? Yeah. "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." Oh, how we need to put a watch on this member right here. Let's go on. Number three, tune your heart with God's Spirit by daily reading His Word. Tune your heart. I spent about 30 minutes on the phone this past week with a piano tuner. And I had to listen to his whole medical history over the last year. He's up in years, and he's been tuning this piano right here ever since we got it, since the 1980s. He's gotten up in years, and he said, "Pastor Brainerd, I don't think I'm going to be able to come, and here's why." And he went on and on and on, was telling me all that kind of stuff. And I said, "Well, do you know somebody else that tunes pianos?" "Yes, but I'm hesitant to give them their number because I might be able to tune your piano after all." And I was like, "You just told me for the last 30 minutes you can't do it." He wouldn't give me the phone number because he said, "I might be able to do it." I said, "Well, I'm going to call you back this coming Wednesday." That's been a week. I said, "I'll call you back. And if you can't do it," I said, "what would possibly keep you from doing that?" "I have a heart procedure." I said, "Yep, that'll probably keep you from doing that. I really would like the phone number." Do you know what the Lord did? My brother came up to me Wednesday night service and handed me the card of the man that had his phone number. He had come to Halls, the guy in Milton that tunes pianos. And my brother said, "You tune pianos?" "Yes." "You want my card?" So he took the card, brought it to me, and I got the name and the phone number of the guy that does it locally so I can get him up here to tune our piano. We try to keep up with it so it doesn't get out of tune or drop down a half, because it's hard to get it back in tune once you do that. You have to stay on top of that. If you don't tune the piano, you don't notice it over time, but what happens? It starts dropping its pitch. It starts dropping its pitch. I can actually tell on my trumpet when we're playing with piano if it starts dropping, because I have to start changing my thing to match up with it. I say, uh-oh, time to call the piano tuner. Get him up here. Now, it's important to do that. Now, if it's important to do that with musical instruments, what must it be without my heart? I got to keep it in tune with the Lord. Very, very important. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for tuning. Tuning in doctrine, tuning in reproof, tuning in correction, tuning in instruction and righteousness. Think of it that way. I'm being brought into tune with God. Is God in tune with His Word? Absolutely. Perfect pitch. Perfect pitch. They've got some really neat apps out there now on your smartphone. You can actually turn your smartphone into a tuner. I remember Mr. Woods coming to band when we were having band whenever I was growing up. And he had this big old tuner that he brought into band with a microphone. And he would bring it up there. He'd set it up, turn it on, put the microphone out there. And he said, all right, trumpets, let's get you in tune. And he'd go around that. And then every time we had a concert, we tuned to the tuner. Now, why did Mr. Woods do that? He wanted his band in tune so we weren't sounding like, ooh, that's awful. You want every player and every section to be in tune with each other, and God wants the same thing from us. If somebody in here is out of tune with God, no man is an island. That lack of tuning plays out in other people's lives. So it's very important that we stay in tune. Robert Robinson in 1757 wrote these words, "Tune my heart to sing thy grace." That was his prayer request. I think that's a good thing to sing, and it's a good thing to have in our heart and life. Let's go on. Number four, meditate on scriptures that address the power of words. Do some personal study in the Bible about our speech. You know, David said in Psalms 103, I will set a watch upon my mouth. Set a watch like a security guard. When I was in the Philippines in November, every place we went, every store, every convenience store, every shopping center had security guards. And we're not talking about just one. They have tens of thousands of security guards just in the city of Manila, because they have problems with theft. They have problems with robbery. They have all kinds of things. And so, as a matter of fact, my next door neighbor was saying that the last time she went to Manila, she's a Filipino, the last time they were there, they got robbed on the taxi. And her husband had his shoes stolen off of his feet. Now, can you imagine that? To start out on your ride and somebody steal the shoes off of your feet? That's pretty desperate, is it not? But you know what? There are security guards everywhere making sure that we were safe. Well, you got to put a security guard on your mouth, because your mouth speaks from the heart. Number five, assume responsibility. This is where we left off last time. Assume responsibility for every word you speak. God desires that you speak the truth. Ephesians 4:25. Speak the truth in love. Psalm 15 and verse 2, and that you keep your word. Matthew 5:37. He will hold you responsible for what you speak. Every idle word, as we read in Matthew 12 and verse 36. Every idle word we're going to be brought to account concerning. I think God keeps His Word, and we certainly are going to stand before His presence someday. So take responsibility, assume responsibility for your words. Proverbs 12 and verse 18, this is from the Amplified Bible, which reads, there is one whose rash words are like sword thrusts, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. In other words, the tongue of the foolish is like a sword right into the belly. It causes pain. It causes hurt. It can cause death. The words of people. You have to remember that. Your words are not innocent. Your words are not neutral. Your words are moral, and they have a very serious effect. If you're a wise person, your tongue can bring what? Healing. Healing's a good thing. But if you don't, your foolish, rash words are like sword thrusts. They puncture and they hurt and they harm others. That brings us to number 6. Ask those around you if you use words that are offensive. Have you ever done that? You ever asked your wife, men, do I say things that are hurtful or are harmful? You know, one thing about wives, they'll be honest with you. They'll tell you. Don't just block it out of your mind. Be honest about it. If your words are harmful, then they're not helpful. And we need to be honest with ourselves. And it's all right to ask somebody, hey, the words that I say, are they helpful or are they hurtful? Are they like sword thrusts or do they give healing? Examine yourself. Sometimes we're not very honest with ourselves. We're not honest about how we say things or how we do things. And we think ourselves, as the Bible says, more highly than we ought to think. And so it's good to have others. Be accountable to others about your words. Ask those around you. Ask them about your speech patterns and evaluate the observations they share. Would you turn to Proverbs 27 for just a moment? Proverbs 27. This is such a helpful passage of Scripture when it comes to our words. Look at verse 6. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Wow. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. What is that saying? In other words, we're honest with each other. It says, the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. You know people that butter up other people, use flattery to get what they want? They'll use different ways, but boy, when you cross them, and we need to be careful about that. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. We look over in verse 17, same chapter. Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the counsel of his friend. In other words, your speech is to be helpful. It's like to be iron sharpening iron. Last night, Jonathan and I had cut down a couple of trees in our yard because we had lost our dish signal. They came out and said, you're going to have to get these trees out of here because it's blocking your signal to the satellite. We'd already moved our dish once, and so, all right, we're going to cut down these trees. So we cut them down, and last night we were out there, and I got the chainsaw got pinched, so I went and got my hatchet and my hammer, and I was driving it up there, and I pulled the chainsaw out. And I pulled the hatchet out, and Jonathan started to trim some limbs off some of the wood that I cut. He said, Dad, your hatchet is dull. All right? And it was. He was out there just whacking and whacking and whacking. And I said, just stop. We'll take it up to the shop and we'll sharpen it. Because nobody wants to use a dull hatchet. You want it to be sharp. And as Christians, do we want to be dull or do we want to be sharp for the Lord? Well, I hope and pray that we want to be sharp. The Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword, all right? Even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. And so we want to be sharp for the Lord. We want to evaluate what we say and make sure that it's not offensive. Number 7, commit yourself to giving a good report and when it is necessary to follow biblical principles of correction. Oh, how important. Listen to this passage from Leviticus 19, verses 16 through 18. Thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer among thy people. Now stop for just a moment. What is a talebearer? That's somebody that's got some news and oh boy, is it ever juicy. Right? You know, juicy news is always easy to tell. You know what juicy news is? It's something usually that tears down somebody else, right? And makes you look better because you didn't do what they did. A talebearer is somebody that really heard something. It may be, you know, third, fourth person down the road, and you don't know whether it's true or not, but boy, is it juicy, so I'm going to go tell. That's a talebearer. The Bible says, thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer among thy people. Thou shalt not hate thy brother in thine heart. Thou shalt in any wise rebuke thy neighbor and not suffer sin upon him. Clear translation would be, but you shall reason frankly with your neighbor, lest you incur sin because of him. In other words, you have to use speech sometimes to reprove or rebuke your neighbor in order to help them, in order to admonish them and encourage them, correct them. Thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord. You know, we love to say, love thy neighbor as thyself. Well, that's such a nice phrase to say, but what does it mean? Well, you got to look at the previous context in order to understand where that verse is coming from. It means that I'm going to be honest with my friends. All right? I'm not going to apply the Facebook friend mentality. I'm going to apply honesty. And you know what? Be careful about the social media. Be careful. It's amazing. When you type something out, you may think, well, this is just going to that individual. But you know what that individual can do? They can repost it. It's called sharing. And then the whole world sees it. All right? Wouldn't it be much better to talk to them face to face, or maybe get on the phone and talk to them individually and just air out whatever difference is or whatever correction needs to be given, rather than posting it out there for the whole world to see? You know, things that are done in public can be handled in public, but things that are private ought to be handled privately. That causes a whole lot less pain. And that brings us to number 8. Fulfill past promises if biblical, and think carefully before making any new promises with your tongue. Oh, how we make promises to people. Be careful about what you promise. Be careful about what you say. You need to fulfill the promises you have made, even when doing so requires unforeseen sacrifice. Keep your word. God will bless the one who, Psalm 15 and verse 4, sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not. Did you get that? Swears to his own hurt, I'm going to do this. I'm not going to change. If you say you're going to do something, do it. Don't back up on your word. Jesus said, let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay. Matthew chapter 5, verse 37. Now, I don't know how the Bible can be any clearer than that. If you say no, you should mean no. If you say no to your child, then mean no to your child. Don't go back and change it. Because you know what will happen? The child has an unbelievable ability to remember. Okay? Mommy, you said no last time, but you really didn't mean no. You changed it to a yes. So, next time will come up, and the next time will come up, and the parent will say, well, you know what you did? You lost your moral authority. You gave it up because you changed your word. Your moral authority, parent and grandparent, is one of the most precious gifts that you have. Don't give it away. Have you ever given something away that you really wish you had back? Yeah, we've all done that, have we not? I joke around with my son about that. He gave away something and he wished that he had kept it. And I said, well, that's just a lesson of life. But one thing you don't want to give away is your moral authority. That's too precious. You want to be able to stand true for your children and your grandchildren and to know that you're unmovable. Now, if you say maybe, a maybe is a maybe. There's hope for a child. Ooh, maybe. My mom and dad, when we were growing up, every Sunday night was A&W root beer night. After church, we would go down to the A&W root beer stand and my dad would take this gallon jug and had an A&W logo on there, and they'd fill it up with root beer. And they'd bring it out to the car. And then Mom and Dad had a subscription with Charles Chips. Anybody remember Charles Chips deliveries? They used to have chip people coming to your door. We can't get anybody to come to your door except salespeople that want you to buy something. We've got a Mediacom guy that I think is going to move in with us. He's at our door leaving literature just about once a week. And you tell him, no, we're not interested. He doesn't take no for an answer. He's like a stray cat that we have that's taken up in our yard at the door. Meow, meow. And what does it want? It wants to be fed. It's letting us know we made the mistake of feeding it. So now it comes back to our door and wants to be fed. Now, saying that, you got to remember the promises you made And you got to what? You got to keep them. Why? Your word, your moral authority rests upon that. If you don't have your word, you have nothing. Let's move on. Number 9, ask for forgiveness for any unloving words or attitudes. And we're going to close with this. Ask for forgiveness about unloving words or attitudes. James 3:2, for in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same as a perfect man. Boy, isn't that the truth? I don't think anybody would say, well, I'm that perfect individual. I've never offended anybody. When you speak words that you shouldn't have spoken, seek forgiveness. Seek forgiveness. Let all evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Oh, how we need to watch our words. We got a few more of these to go. We got about 4 more, and I've got some other thoughts to share with you before we move on to the Christian and hearing, because these two are related. All right, the speaking and the hearing. May God help us to be the right kind of testimonies with our tongue. Father, I thank You so much for Your goodness to us. We thank You for the time in Your Word. And I pray that You might work in our hearts, Lord. May we set a watch upon our mouth. And may we say only those things that bring glory to Your name and edification to other individuals. Help us, Father, to be careful with our tongue, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.